You're listening to Burning Bridges with Margot, and I'm your fire starter, Margot Avedisian. And we have an awesome show today. We have Chris Klein, the COO of Bitcoin IRA, future senator, financial whiz kid, all around nice guy. And he's going to teach us what an IRA is and Bitcoin IRA and what the heck is this Bitcoin ETF everyone keeps talking about. So Chris, welcome to the show. Thanks for being on.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Great. So I like to start off the show with, tell me about a bridge you burned and you thought it was a bad thing, but it actually turned out to be a blessing in disguise.
Wow. I knew that was coming and I think I was prepared. I would say that it was burning the bridges between, from where I grew up and where I came from and then what I came out here in California to do. So at one point in time in December of 2011, I just packed two suitcases and bought a one-way ticket and made a decision to just leave Colorado. Really just wanted to start fresh with something different. Had been doing some work across a series of things and was ready to try something new. So, you know, you had to leave your job. You left a lot of people behind, some people you stay in touch with, some people you don't. So in essence, burning some bridges there. And, you know, over time, when I first got to California, I lived in a roadside motel for 9 months building my first company with my partners. And there was a lot of times where I felt like I had burned the wrong bridge and maybe shouldn't have taken that leap of faith. But inevitably, it works out. You just stay on the grindstone, and we can create and be innovative with things like Bitcoin and IRAs for young folks and old folks today.
Did you start questioning things when you got scabies?
No. You got to think about, though. Yeah, I mean, you see an interesting walk of life when you do that. And obviously, I'm sure that they were wondering what I was doing, waking up every morning at 5 a.m. in a suit, and I'd stay at the office until the sun went down because it was the last place you want to be. So I suppose it was good because it kept me hustling. There wasn't a comfort zone, and when you put your back against the wall, it can be really scary. But usually, it can work out as long as you stay focused.
Maybe they thought you were like a high-end pimp or something.
You never know what you're... I think I saw a few of those while I was there during my time. I think there was a few pool parties held by... It was just some suspicious characters. You know, in those old movies, those old Italian movies, the fatter you are, the hotter the chick that you have, the bigger you are. That I saw that in real life at a motel pool. So, you know, you never know.
Yeah, that sounds very comfortable.
Too much visual?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you don't live in a motel anymore, right? You're moving on up?
No. Yeah, moving on up to the east side, a deluxe apartment, how that ever that goes. No, yeah, there was a nine-month stint, and then, you know, eventually you start finding traction with a business, you can start taking a salary for yourself, and you can live at least some means. But, you know, that's what one of the things that why I love talking in this kind of setting is that some of the people that might be listening don't really think, I mean, we try to ask ourselves, what is money and what's the importance of it? And how can you plan to take risks now and put some things aside also and prepare yourself appropriately for down the road? We're going to live till we're about 80, no matter how bad we are to our bodies, and we have to make it through it financially. And there's a point where you don't want to work forever, and that's what retirement's all about.
Yeah, well, I like when people tell their journey story of you were in a motel and now you are a founder of the first and really only mainstream gateway to Bitcoin. So dreams can come true.
Indeed they can. Indeed.
So, okay, what the heck is an IRA and why, I mean, for young people, like, why do we care about this?
Well, an IRA is what's known as an individual retirement account. Some of us, many of us, may have active 401ks, which is another type of a retirement account. That's where we're contributing actively from our paychecks or our companies are matching us. And what those two do in conjunction, you can have an IRA and you can have a 401k, and usually many people have both. The 401k is going to trap you into traditional investment vehicles, which is good if you're just looking for accrual, which means I'll donate my $15,000 a year slowly over paycheck by paycheck that I can do. And you know, 5 or 6 years from now, I'll keep doing that. I might have a little growth, but, you know, I'm really just about accumulation at this point. An IRA is where you can go into some more strategic investments like Bitcoin that have an upside potential. A lot of speculation, especially in the news just this weekend, is going to be crazy. And future growth ahead, it's come from pennies on the dollar to it's now at parity with gold. You can use that inside of a more structured alternative designed IRA, known as a self-directed IRA. And now, in IRAs, it's important just to have a 401k. So if you're doing that, pat yourself on the back. That's not a large percentage of us. Oftentimes, we opt out of that. But to look a little further, every year it's $5,500. Divide that across the number of payrolls you have. It's not a lot. And if you're going to be saving and you want to be investing, put it into a tax setting that's beneficial to you. Any type of IRA is going to be better than investing with cash and growth. Beyond that, when you can get into some of the structures that we've talked about with Roths or using SEPs, you're going to get even greater tax advantages. And if you're a Bitcoin enthusiast, you might think it's going to the moon. We were just at a conference in the Caribbean, and one guy said he wasn't going to sell till it hit a million. And these are pretty smart people that are thinking big picture about macroeconomics. So that's in essence what retirement savings is and what an IRA does for you. It gives you the chance to invest in something and save some money on taxes, regardless of the structure that you use, and start building a nest egg for the future.
So what's a Bitcoin IRA?
A Bitcoin IRA is one that is specifically designed in a self-directed fashion for the alternative of Bitcoin. So Bitcoin as a cryptocurrency is available for people to purchase with cash basis. So we've all been able to go to the exchanges like Coinbase or Bitfinex and set up an account on our mobile phone and then buy some Bitcoin. What we do is that same process takes place with strategic partners for safety and security using retirement monies, using old 401k monies you may have or new contributions you may be considering for a particular type of IRA. And you're buying the real thing. It's a big differentiating point for us. We're purists in our art of how we like to look at Bitcoin. It should be something that's not a proxy certificate or denominated in some dollar-based stock. It really is meant to be an alternative currency for us to utilize that's decentralized, can't be printed or mined or can't be printed or manipulated. It's mined, and there's a finite number of them that will exist in one point in time. It's an asset class that people are looking at with a lot of upside potential, 123% growth since we started our first Bitcoin IRA in June of last year. It was the former director of the United States Mint, Ed Moy, and he was our client number one. He's also our chief strategist here, so help put this together.
So people would give you money and then you buy the Bitcoin for them. And why wouldn't they just buy the Bitcoin themselves?
Well, the reason why you put it into the IRA setting is that you generate a tax haven for yourself in some fashion. So if it's a traditional type of IRA where it's tax deferred, you're lowering your taxable income. That's your liability for the year. And which is beneficial if people are looking to lower that amount this time of year, come tax season, we're all looking at that box of receipts. Or you're taking money that you already have and you want to put it into a tax-free growth setting like a Roth, then you would put it there. And if you really think you're betting big on Bitcoin and it's going to go up to upside potential, you've now paid the taxes on it and you can leave it there for 5 years and take it out for either exemptive reasons like higher education costs or first down payments on homes. Or you can keep it until 59 and a half, and either of those withdrawal points, you're taking it out without any additional taxes. If you buy with cash, over time, your buys and sells are going to generate what's a capital gains taxable event, which could be short or long term, and it depends on your income. There's a lot of factors, but if you buy something for $5,500 and you sell it later this year for $500,000, you're going to have to ante up to the tax man. In the IRA setting, the tax man doesn't get to get at you until you take it out, and in some settings, if you follow the rules accordingly, he doesn't get you again. So you can really get some tax free growth with an asset like Bitcoin, where it's gone from just dollars to well over the an ounce of gold as of right now. I think we just surpassed 1270, and so an ounce of gold is at 1200. It's really grown up, and many are calling for 2000 to 3000 in the future years by 2020. Others, there's a lot of different speculations out there, but it's more demands coming in and less of it is available. And that's a natural supply and demand. If you could have something that everybody wants and there's only so much of it, it's going to grow in value. So we're kids, we're all young in our hearts somehow or some way. Maybe we've saved for retirement, maybe we haven't. Maybe we're a little disappointed about the outcomes of our growth of our savings. This is a chance to not put the whole piggy bank or what you need next month for rent on risking it with Bitcoin, but some longer-term savings plan of some substantial growth for you. Give us millennials a chance in this economy as we tend to say we complain about too much.
So if I bought Bitcoin, one was, let's say, $1,000 and I went up to $5,000 and I had it less than a year, I'd have to pay capital gains tax on that. What would that be? What would I have to pay taxes wise? Like 40%?
It depends on your income and if it's short or long term. So it can range from 15 up to 25 is about around the max right now. And so it really depends on how long did you hold the asset, how much income are you currently making, what tax bracket are you in right now. And those two factors at play, you'll be in that range. So that's, if you know, I mean, 15 to 25% of your money is nothing to shy away from, especially if, say, you buy it and you sell it, and then it gets on sale again, and you buy it again, and you sell it again, and you keep doing that, you're going to have all that growth in a deferred or tax-free setting, like a Roth or a traditional IRA, versus losing that money to the tax man before the next time you can buy in. So your purchasing power is eliminated. It's just what happens. You won't be able to get as much Bitcoin every time if you want to trade this or get a little bit of a strategy behind it.
So you could trade it once it's in the IRA?
Yes. So it's not designed for high volume trades. So if you're going to be a velocity day trader, then you'll just be crossing your fingers for the ETF to come through, or you can do GBTC Trust. There's other paper derivatives that give you that speed of velocity. Since we're dealing with the real thing, which is involving a sophisticated wallet with BitGo, key extraction points from Brinks and storage facilities, which is a very secure process on the backside, because of those movements, it's probably more like monthly or people are looking 3 to 6 months out, they're looking 9 to 12 months out, but there's never a point to get greedy. If it goes off, we've had people that bought at 400, some have sold at 1100, they haven't re-bought back in, but you can do that. It's just not high velocity trading. That you would want to stay in a stock exchange setting. This is an alternative asset. Just like if you wanted to day trade gold or silver, you'd buy GLD or SLV. You wouldn't buy a gold bar and try to, because it has to be moved around and things like that. And there's custodians, which is like it's a bank. It's just like a JP Morgan or a Fidelity or an E-Trade that have to execute those things for you in the alternative setting. And it can't be real time, so you can't do a lot of high velocity trading. But no, there is a strategy. Some of the other things people are doing in the alternative space is not just sticking with Bitcoin. So they've got a winner, and we had a guy that went in. I think about doubled for him, and he called us. He said, just take the profit, the growth that we've made off of this investment, and I want you to slide it over and put it into gold for a long-term hold. And he tossed some silver in there too. So that's another strategy. So it's really self-directed in nature. We just bring it to the table, a turnkey option for people that want to get more engaged in their retirement and try some things that you can't find in the stock, bond, or mutual fund world.
Yeah, I don't really think most people, or at least around our age, are buying gold and silver. Like, that's just...
You'd be surprised. It's a longer term. But no, it's Bitcoin is the digital gold for our generation. Because it makes sense. Those gold bugs that are out there, and maybe it's your grandfather. I know my grandfather buys gold regularly, and so does my dad. And they were doing that long before I ever knew much about precious metals as well. Their mentality is they've been through inflationary moments in time, either here domestically or seen it internationally. They know what it does as a store of value. And it makes sense to them because it's hard, it's tangible. They're from the baby boomer generation. It's about realness, grit. We're the younger groups of us from 85, I think, on through, who's been born through the millennium. We need something that's a little bit, we like something that's a little bit more tangible and ease of access, ease of use. So you can have both with Bitcoin. You have something that's finite and can't be manipulated by the government, can't be confiscated over time or nationalized. It's decentralized from the government. In conjunction with that, you have a store of value because there is only so many of them. There's actually a finite number of 21 million Bitcoin versus we can still mine some gold and silver. It can still be found. That's fluctuation in that commodity market as a result. So it just makes sense. It clicks for us. We're the iPad generation. We're the iPod generation, I guess. Our kids will be the iPad and the next thing. But it put it into a digital space where it's still what we're comfortable with. Our bank accounts are zeros and ones. It's digital money. And cryptocurrency is a little different from that in that it's not derived in some other currency. It's derived in its own currency. And that's what we get out of it. So if we're not going to buy gold and silver, we think that's a little timeless classic, little old school conservative. You can have a lot of the features that your grandparents and parents are finding with it, with Bitcoin, and the upside speculation of growth potential. A lot of the true believers of Bitcoin out there that it's going to go much further than it has.
How easy is it to open a Bitcoin IRA?
Relatively quick. It's an online application that can be done with a specialist or directly online to get started. Once that application is e-signed, then you have an account established. Then we just got to figure out source of funds. So if it's a contribution for the fiscal year, you have up until April 17th is the deadline this year to make a contribution for 2016. So if you, we can all do up to $5,500 into a Roth or a traditional IRA. If you make over a good chunk of money, over $140,000, you may not be eligible for the Roth IRA, but you can still look at a traditional option to lower your tax burden, the amount of income you have. Once that's set, we know where those funds are coming from, how we're contributing them, then you're buying Bitcoin the next day. If you got to move some funds from like an old 401k, some of us have those. When you leave an employer, you get gain access to your 401k monies, or if you roll that into another 401k, usually that portion's available. That's going to take a couple more days because we're dealing with banks, and banks have to process requests and sign documents, and then it's a lot of ink signatures and things like that. But within 3 to 5 days, you'll have funds in the account ready to purchase Bitcoin under the umbrella of an IRA.
How do you know if you have a 401k? Because I may have had one like years and years ago when I had a traditional job.
That's a good question. It would be best, you can, even if you don't work somewhere, after you leave there, you can call their HR department and find out if there was a 401k at the time of your employment and who's it held by. Oftentimes, for good jobs of our trade in the tech and just like the younger, Fidelity is a big one. Sometimes it's through ADP, which is with Voya or Paychex. It's usually tied closely to your HR or your payroll group. You can also look at old pay stubs or W-2s and see if there's any contributions made. They'll be reported. It's just like a contribution, but it's automated, and it's a 401k, so that's just so that it's on your record that you've donated monies or contributed monies to a 401k. Those are good starting points. And that, and check your promotions tab in your Gmail, because that's usually where I find stuff that I should probably be paying attention to sometimes. But Gmail thinks to know what's best for me, where my email should be at.
So with the Roth IRA, you said that we could take the money out with no penalties and younger than 59.5 if we are going to buy our first home or higher education. Does that include student loans? Is that considered higher education?
As not a tax advisor, I'm not 100% sure, but it's an easy question to ask when you file your taxes or at any of those online help sites. It's a common thing you'll see. The IRS language and code is kind of gives you a headache to try to read through it. But there's a series of exemptions with Roth withdrawals. I had the list open, so I'm just going to grab it to give you exemptions. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, because the first home thing, that's really interesting. That seems very useful to people.
Absolutely. Down payments can be pretty cumbersome, especially since the housing crisis of 08, how difficult and the percentages that need to be down and the viability of yourself as an individual, single, married, all those factors come into play. So to be able to chunk a chunk of money that you make off of a Bitcoin bet that starts coming to fruition, and then, boom, you've got a down payment right there set up for you, tax-free. Let's see. To build or rebuild a first home up to spent within 120 days. So you have to move it really quickly. Suffering a disability, distribute to beneficiaries. I don't see something here about higher education, but I'll make sure that I send it to you in the future so that you have it. I don't know specifics on that, but I know that a cost associated can be pulled out or utilized as an investment.
How many women are opened Bitcoin IRAs?
It's a predominantly male world in the industry itself and then in the buyer. But I would say that we're at about the 80-20 rule by average now. What kind of skews that is we get a lot of young couples, husbands and wives, that are doing their accounts together. But no, some of our largest accounts have been women as well. We're in the process of finalizing an account in the mid six figures for a young lady that built that up working at an old Intel or IBM or something like that. So they're out there, and they get it. They're great to talk to about it. There's a lot of energy about it, which you've seen that transition just from our parents. I think I noticed that, but in my household, a lot more of it leaned on my mom as far as the budgets and the finances of the household, and that naturally just grew into. Especially taking on into the workforce with Storm 2, there's a lot more interest in managing their funds, and they do it sometimes separately from their spouse or significant other. Sometimes they do it in conjunction, but they're actively looking at alternatives just as much as men are.
So when you, if you roll over your 401k, do you still have the $5,500 limit?
When you know, when you have, if you have a 401k, you can roll over the whole thing. So if you got $20,000, $30,000 sitting there, you can do it. No, it's just in the contributions. So if you're starting a new account, maybe just getting started with retiring investment, then your best bet is to look at a contribution. And I'd highly recommend putting some urgency to it for you if you're looking to get it done this year for last year. So right now, say you had a good year, say you got some savings and you're like, you know, this makes sense. You can do up to really $10,500. Or sorry, $11,000, because you can do last year's contribution for 2016 of $5,500, and then this year's for 2017, and that's, you know, that'll get you about 8 to 10 Bitcoin, and at these levels, I mean, it's moving so much, so it'll be depend on the day that the funds are available, but that'll get you a good chunk of Bitcoin that can get some growth over time, and it's cool to think about Bitcoin as divisible as it is, so it starts to grow and the use of it in that setting, but by the 17th of April is the deadline to be able to do both of those, and it's a great starting point for anybody that's ready to jump in. Now, if you have an old 401k, it'll take a little bit more time to get it over, but you can do all of it.
So could people, if they already have Bitcoin, can you move that over to open your account?
We have had people that do contributions in kind. So yeah, if you're holding Bitcoin and you want to use that as the valuation, we just figure out exactly how much is $5,500 on the day of. We get your wallet pre-set up and configured, and then we move over in kind those Bitcoin as the contribution. So you can start with cash or you can start in kind. That's true in all investment as far as the alternative self-directed world. Can't take a stock and contribute it, but you can take, again, people contribute gold, they contribute components of land or otherwise, but Bitcoin's a great place. If you've got some sitting in a wallet and you want to make a contribution for a Roth IRA, and then get that, hold it in there for 5 years, and it's an easy way to set it up and move through.
Cool. So is there insurance too?
There's insurance on the transaction. Which brings us from all the way to the cold storage point of the actual Bitcoin in the wallet itself, and then anytime you're extracting or moving it, there's a transaction insurance in place. At this time in the Bitcoin world, any of the exchanges that do have or any of the offerings of insurance that are out there are usually a portion of, because we have, I mean, the history of the industry does have Mt. Gox and does have Bitfinex and does have things like that. So you don't have many insurers looking to underwrite Bitcoin as when it's held there. So you insure it by the layers of security and protection you put around it so that the extraction of the keys is very difficult. Ours is a three-key system. Requires two keys to be utilized at once and has recovery services. But we do believe, and just as a preamble, that we think we can get it through 100% of that process before the end of the year. It just slows down key extraction a little bit. It doesn't slow down the ability for you to sell at a moment's notice or buy in a moment's notice. What it does is it allows so that those keys are under lock and key. And when we can finalize that without any variance, then we can have 100% insured process. So it's not quite FDIC. It's not like the 5,000 or 100,000 that you get up to with FDIC savings insurance. The movement of the transaction is insured all the way through. And then once it's in cold storage, sitting in a BitGo paper type wallet in the configuration we have set, we have a 99% security rating with them. And they're one of the top providers out there in the industry.
People probably don't know what keys in cold storage are.
Okay. So to make that a little bit, so when you create a wallet for Bitcoin, what's created is there's several keys that are created in some instances. But you have a public key and a private key. And it's just like your public key is your email address. You say, hey, you can email me at Chris@BitcoinIRA. That's my email address. But the password to access that email, that's your private key. In some exchanges and wallets, it just requires a single key, which is a little bit more risky. And if you lose it, then you don't have access or recovery to it. Ours uses a couple keys, and that means that that it requires multiple keys to be used at once for additional security. What cold storage is when they're sitting off of the exchange. So you have hot wallets and you have cold wallets. What that means is that if you're live on an exchange and you can move in and out of it very quickly, you're in a hot wallet. If you're in cold storage, I tell people it's a great way to think about it is your Bitcoin is sitting in a freezer next to Ted Williams and Walt Disney. You know how they cryogenically froze themselves. Just think of it as your little Bitcoin sitting there, and it's the best metaphor I could put to make that make sense for you. And it's like a bank account. You can log on in the sense of cash purchases. You can buy it and use it as a bank account, make payments with it, use it to back up a Visa Swift card or anything like that. In the Bitcoin space, you'll be set to log in and view your wallet, but you're not an active participant. That's the tax deferment setting. So any asset that's held by an IRA, and this the beauty of them letting us have all these tax benefits of it and using it for homes and things that we've talked about, is that the indicia of ownership has to be in a third party, meaning the custodian has to be able to have access to it, and you can't. It's at an arm's distance from you. And that's just an important component to the structure of IRAs.
How did you get into this?
Before I found that motel, I had left with two suitcases, one-way ticket, and I was coming through Los Angeles in the Southern California area. I was from college. I had some buddies out here from the old fraternity days and met with some of them, and I think we did New Year's Eve together. From there, they introduced me to the industry of gold and silver, and I met partners in Sherman Oaks, California, where we're at now, that were doing marketing and other things for this industry, and we met really serendipitously via dinner and went into their office and chatted a little bit. They said, "What do you think about?" I thought, "What you thought? Gold? Like, is that like somebody on the corner? We buy gold. Like, what are we opening here?" I really didn't head in, no clue, and then it clicked. Background in international finance, so the concept of currencies and the concept of macroeconomics is right there, And then the IRA made sense. My mom was in banking, and she moved her way from a teller when she met my dad all the way up just before she passed. She was the president of a regional bank out in Colorado. And I learned a lot about the struggles of banking and wires and ACH. So I just was into it. I used to go to their office and just to learn, like most kids, like take your kid to school or take your kid to work day. I try to do that as much as possible. And it all kind of just started coming together. You know, there's the gold and silver industry in the IRA space is kind of archaic. It's not pushing innovation and this cutting edge that we're trying to. They set something up and then they make money on the exchange of the metals. We went the route of we want to be a financial conduit. We want to push the envelope. We want to become, I say sometimes, the fidelity of alternatives. And that's just because of how we look at what is money. What is it today? What does that dollar bill in your pocket really represent? What have we done to it as a society as far as printing paper fiat money and taking it off a standard of some sort? So it all just case in point moved seamlessly, you know. And then Ed Moy and our partners one of the partners brought the challenge to the table and said, "Have you ever thought about Bitcoin?" And I was like, "What?" And that was a few years ago, and then got behind the wheel, and I fell in love with the concept of cryptocurrency, because as a guy that has to move money from, I told you, you know, the 401k, if we do it, it's 3 to 5 days. And Matt, we deal with hundreds of accounts at a time, and the biggest headache is the other bank moving money or doing something efficiently. They've gotten in the way to charge us fees and charge us interest. And when cryptocurrency is liberty from that. It's the liberty of money in a lot of ways. So to be able to know and understand IRAs, then understand this beautiful asset of Bitcoin, and you see the common sense of it is if I think Bitcoin's going up and I'm going to make some money off of this, then I should probably put it in a setting that's going to save me the most from Uncle Sam. Because we pay enough taxes as it is. Pretty much every day we wake up, we pay taxes. Everything is taxed. You know, there's nothing more certain, as our grandfathers have told us, than death and taxes. Other than Puerto Rico, as we learned last week, right?
Yeah. Puerto Rico has no capital gains tax if you live there for 180 days. And a minute counts.
And you have to have a residence. So you have to buy a home or a condo.
Oh, really? You can't rent?
I didn't think there was rental, but maybe I didn't catch that exactly as I was supposed to.
Huh. Interesting. Was regulation getting this passed hard? I can't imagine that it would be easy for people to put...
No, it wasn't easy. No, it wasn't easy for them because nobody thinks, what Bitcoin? What's Bitcoin? You know, the first time we walked in the room and we said Bitcoin, 90% of the room stopped listening. And so we had to learn that lesson quick. And what we did was we took past experiences about how the structure of other assets are held in self-directed IRAs. We built a really good relationship over time with our custodians. So you got to know some IRA groups and custodians and have positive relationships with them to prove that your goodness as a business. There's unscrupulous companies everywhere in this world, and especially in finance, especially in investments. And so you have to have those things in place. We've pushed the envelope of compliance. We helped them get better at security and encryption and those things just because of our operations in the gold business. We were pushing them for more and more security for our clients. And so when you have that relationship, then you can sit down and talk out something as complex as Bitcoin. And it's all about simplicity. I know we can throw off buzzwords, and we got to catch ourselves sometimes in the space, of key wallet storage, this and cold storage that, you just mentioned. And just keep it simple. It's an alternative investment that you can go into that's highly reactive and performing right now as an alternative to fiat currency. And you can put it into a financial conduit that saves you and or defers your tax burden with that success and that growth. And it helps us, like we were talking about at the beginning of this, of just starting to build that nest egg. It's going to become real at some point. You can't work forever. Ask your grandparents, ask your parents as they're starting to plan out their retirement. And we can't make money forever. So you got to put some aside. And if you're going to build a retirement, you can start small. It's $5,500. You save that across a year and contribute it in. Some people do quarterly contributions. Sometimes they do it all in one lump sum. But if you want to take advantage for the tax deadline of the 17th of April, you can move that quickly. It's a pretty easy process to get started.
Well, and robots are going to be replacing most people, so we're not going to be working anymore.
Yeah, well, but then what are we going to do? what are we supposed to do? And maybe that comes from a true workaholic.
You could just trade Bitcoin. Why are you based in California? You would think New York is the center of finance.
Well, that's the truth. You're right. New York is the center of finance.
The center of everything, actually.
That's spoken like a true New Yorker. But what it is you have the stock boys and the paper assets in New York, the big hedge funds. And then if you look at Chicago, you have the Mercantile Exchange, so you have the commodities boys and the bonds boys. And then in California, you've had all the many different derivatives of gold companies, and it goes part and parcel all the way back to the Go West, young man, when 40 acres and a mule, and you made your way across in a Conestoga wagon, and you were mining gold, and it was to strike gold. That a lot of those, that infrastructure of this business started out here, and so that's why we started with gold. We get into Bitcoin. They're very similar. It's a digital gold. It's gold 2.0 in a lot of ways. So it just kind of is going to work out that way, that innovators will be out in California. Plus, the weather's gorgeous here. I mean, you guys had negative 15, I think, like last week, and then 2 weeks before that it was 40. I mean, it's a nice, mild, temperate climate out here. And I don't really go in the ocean too much, but the beaches are beautiful.
So let's talk about the Bitcoin ETF, because there's been a lot of talk about that, and I don't know if everyone knows even what an ETF is. I had to learn about it. So what is an ETF, and what's this Bitcoin ETF all about?
So, okay, an ETF, let's start with that, is an exchange-traded fund. And what they are is they've become popular as an investment tool that Fidelity's and Edward Jones has put together to give exposure to their investors in alternative investments or new emerging technologies. So you've had gold and silver ETFs, you've got SPY, all for all kinds of different things, for sectors. It's kind of like a... it's the best representation to it is a proxy certificate into an industry that you want exposure to. And so the Bitcoin ETF has been going through quite a few many years of getting approval from the SEC, the regulatory bodies, to be added to an exchange as something that people can buy into. So it's a stock representation of shares of Bitcoin. So what that means for us in the Bitcoin space is a split down the middle. Some people love it, some people hate it. I'm of a purist of heart, so I like the real thing. But I do think mainstream adoption and having it out there is going to help. I think investing in Bitcoin has a purpose to the mass adoption of this currency, but it also it has to be the people using it and the functionality and utility of it. So it opens up a little bit more space with people that are tied into 401ks. So say you want Bitcoin and you can't roll it over because you're still working. Great. You can go into the ETF space and get some exposure to Bitcoin.
So it's like buying a stock?
When you get a stock of Bitcoin at the end of the day is the most rudimentary, simple way of explaining it. What it is the group has to hold a percentage of the actual asset that their exchange traded funded. The twins, the Winklevoss twins, have been buying up Bitcoin for years now, and their trust has enough of it to validate trading at it's not at margin, but it's a proxy certificate. So we have all this. If it rises together, less our operating expenses, then you will see growth in your stock. And that's kind of that operating expenses part is where you can see some failure or growth or success of ETFs over time. So you're tracking with an asset. If it's gold or Bitcoin, if Bitcoin or gold go up, then the ETF normally will go up or down along in conjunction with it. However, sometimes operating expenses get too high or business isn't run appropriately and the profit and loss earnings are different, PE earnings are different, or ratios are different than what you would expect. Well then, boom, you're not going to make as much as if you were holding the real thing. But it's a great point of exposure. I like to see it because it means that more people are talking about. It's great to see Bitcoin positive in the news. We were in the Wall Street Journal earlier this year on the print edition for our success with getting Bitcoin IRA live and running. I cheer on any mainstream and mass adoption of the industry because at the end of the day, it's going to get more and more people talking about it, understanding it. It's money that is easy to use. It's finite, and the government can't mess with it, and it doesn't get your bank in the way. It's 24/7. That's so cool. I mean, how many times did you say, I think about all the time with friends when they're headed out to Vegas. Like, you got to make the bank run. You got to get cash. It's just one of those things before you head out, and that's popular here because we're so close to Vegas. People leave for a weekend in Vegas, and it's always, I got it, and the bank closes at 5, and then if you try to pull a lot of cash out in Vegas, then you get, like, flagged, and you get problems, and then you got to get on the phone, and you're just trying to enjoy yourself. Well, imagine a world where you could just use your QR code to pay for everything in Bitcoin that you've been investing over time, and you never have to get a bank involved, and you can make payments instantaneously, not just in dollar-based assets, but in something that's alternative that hasn't been printed at a velocity that was never been seen before. That's one thing that really, I mean, I'm not like a crazy doomsdayer, so don't take me for like a Nostradamus that says the sky is going to fall at some point. But there's basic math to what we've done to our currency. At one point in time, it was pinged to the U.S. to an ounce of gold, so it had tangible value to it. We took it off of that over 40 some odd years ago, and now we have, which is one thing because it gave us growth and allowed the economy. That's what gave us the booming 80s and when everybody was getting every gadget and gizmo that was out there that all now fit in our iPhone. But inevitably, the velocity of monetary supply, printing money, dilutes the power and the parity of it. Think about when you used to go to the grocery store with your parents and they'd spend $20 and on a full grocery cart. You can't fill a basket for $20 at the grocery store today, and that's even if you're not trying to eat really crazy, organic, and healthy. And certainly, you're not going to spend less than $100 anytime you go to Target. So that's where we live in today, and we haven't even seen the effects of the printing they're doing as we speak. Every time they turn on the printing presses to pay for debt, to sell treasury bonds, I get really deep into it. I don't want to get crazy, but open your eyes a little bit to the fact that your money's not as strong as it used to be. So you gotta hedge that. You got to have some alternatives that give you, and Bitcoin's a great space for that. It's finite. They can't print it. They can't do those things to it. Part of the reason why you're seeing it's now taking 1,200 of those dollars. That's some people's rent payments, I guess. I don't know, in New York, do you guys have rent payments that low, or is it all over?
It's not my rent payment.
So that's somebody's rent payment that is at a Bitcoin. And at one point in time, you were getting $4 or $5 for one of those Bitcoin, and it's part of a dilution of money and supply. It's why gold goes up. It's why all those things, and it's happening right in front of us. In conjunction with that, if you're a saver, and that's great for you, you got a couple hundred, maybe not a couple, maybe 10 grand, 15 grand in your savings account, they're not paying you anything on it. The banks used to at least pay us money when we'd save it, 7%, something like that, where it was worth it. Now it's negative interest rates. All while they're printing more money, that's losing the power of your money. So they're double whamming you, and sometimes it's going to wake up. It's going to hurt at some point for many of us. There will be people that will go through losing a large portion, because it all comes out. All these kind of infrastructure issues come out and they creep out, kind of like volcanoes do. With, you know, there's magma underneath, and we're sitting on a fireball in essence. And every once in a while, it needs to clear its sinuses, and that's when eruptions take place or whatever. A macroeconomic system is the same way. And if we're churning and churning this monetary supply, and it keeps going and keeps going, it's going to spew out. And that's when you see crises like the home housing crisis. Yes, that was a mortgage crisis that took place in 2008, but part of it was led by economy that was driven that, we'll always go up. The price of housing will always go up. We'll always make more money. And if we can't make it, we'll print it. And then we just keep printing and keep printing and keep printing it. So if anything, look at alternatives to that and saving at the end of the day, getting started. So putting $5,000 into a savings account right now probably is not going to get you as much yield as something in the space of Bitcoin.
When do you think there's going to be this volcano of the printing money consequences?
Hey, that's a tough. It's unprecedented territory. The only closest, I guess, explanation to it is Roman times with over it's empirical overreach, and you have that just in monetary supply. We've been doing it since 1971. Nixon took us off the gold standard, the longest living fiat currency. And when I say fiat, that means it doesn't have a backing. It's just paper. It's a fancy word for paper money. That the largest living one that didn't have a cataclysmic event was 42 years. We're beyond that. So we're kind of like in that after 12 o'clock hour, what's next? And kind of California has that with the earthquake. So it's been a long time. And so it could be any, it won't be, it'll be swift and it'll be sharp. It'll inflation hurts. Modern times, if you want to see what inflation looks like, modern 1920s and German hyperinflation on the Deutschmark, people would go and bring a wheelbarrow full of German marks to a grocery store, and the grocer would turn over and throw the marks into the street, into the trash, and take the wheelbarrow as an exchange. And that's not that far long ago. That was 100 years ago. Modern, beyond that, we haven't seen a major event, but what's happening in Venezuela right now is inflation, and it's bad monetary policy at its best, combined with bad fiscal policy and bad governance and statism and a lot of other things. So you mix it up and it gets worse. In a democracy sense, Poland and Greece both almost went belly up on their on their debts with the EU, and their citizens woke up the next morning with a percentage of their money was replaced by a government IOU. And that's what we're going to get is a nice fat IOU, and it'll cause contraction. Because the essence of printing the money is expanding. And if all of a sudden we overexpand, we reach beyond our critical mass, then, yeah, it's a house of cards underneath it. How deep it'll go is probably the better question. Not how when it will happen, but how much it can hurt is the bigger concern.
Well, that sounds optimistic. So we should just buy Bitcoin.
Well, that's why, I mean, I got a 3-year-old daughter. Her name's Isabella, and she's got Bitcoin in her IRA. She has silver and not gold yet because I don't have that much in there. But that's what I'm building it towards. In 18 years, when she's really going to have expenses, and then there will be. I mean, it's not like it's the end of the world. We're not all just going to go somewhere and disappear. We just have to find a new system. And what is that system? Right now, you have this basket of fiat currencies that all flow relative to each other, and that's why they're in this kind of nice little balance of equilibrium. When that equilibrium gets offset, or if that concept implodes, what replaces it? Is it a basket of cryptocurrencies? Bitcoin, obviously, is a beast in its capital market cap right now, and it's got an ETF possibly coming out here this weekend. Beyond that, you've got Ethereum, you got Ripple, you got Dash, you got Altcoin, you got all kinds of Dogecoin, Litecoin. They may all serve different little purposes. So it may just be a new money. And those of us that are crazy and everybody thinks we're nuts right now talking about this, that are buying it now, we're going to get the last, maybe the last laugh there, because eventually you're going to have to move over to it, or you'll bridge your way over to it. Everybody in the world is printing money. This isn't just a United States issue. This is Japan. This is the Bank of China, even though we don't get the reports. It's the EU. This is everybody, because they're all trying to continue to accelerate the growth of their economies. My grandfather has a great saying that you know who's wearing pants when the tide goes out. And so what may happen at some point is we'll start seeing some inflictions, some conflict, currency war-like, not real war, economic war-like, where countries will be, or central banks will be shooting across a different type of economic warfare, and that could hurt us as consumers over time, because we'll have it's all about balance at this point. We're globalized. This world went flat again, and flat in a way that, in a good way, where everything was interconnected. So whatever happens affects all of us, whether we want to admit it or not.
I heard for years that the Federal Reserve was working on a digital currency for the U.S.
Yeah, you know, I've read those articles too. You know, you got those interviews that people say they used to work in, that they did this. I know that there was a guy that was using his computer to mine Bitcoin that worked at the Federal Reserve at one point. I've seen that article. Is it going to be an easy transition to power? No, but this alt movement. I'm not a Trump fan. I don't get as political as I used to. I was in politics. Someday I might want to get back into it. But at this point, one administration, one thing can't fix what we've been doing for decades now. It's going to take a mentality shift of us of people, and we're seeing it a little bit. What's the problem is they're dividing us. They're pushing us. They're pinning us against each other. They're putting women against men. They're putting races against each other, and internally, externally, all those things. That's what is sold on mainstream media. The shift in the monetary systems and those kinds of things, major macroeconomic events, they bring cohesion around people because it affects all of us, every single one of us. It affects every single one of our pocketbooks and what our taxes are going to be. That's really how they fix problems in the government. Just a heads up, we've never seen our generation. We think taxes are bad. We haven't seen nothing yet. Bad times during the Great Depression, the top tax brackets were getting hit for 80-85%. The lowest ones were getting hit for 40-50%. It wasn't a good time for anybody. The boats rise together and they fall together. So, we'll see, I guess, would be the answer.
So with ETFs, just jump back to that. Can people only buy as much as they have of Bitcoin? Could it be oversubscribed?
Yeah, that's what makes it an ETF, is it puts steroids on your holdings because you don't have to have dollar for dollar. So it's just like a gold ETF. You don't have to have one bar of gold for every representation that you sell of gold in a share. It's usually a percentage, I think, and that's part of what's taking the time on the SEC, I think, here. They're low in some ETFs. Some ETFs is like I've seen like 20-30% has to be held. It's better than the rules for banks. It's harder for them, the rules with banks. Banks have to hold a certain amount of just cash liquidity too. So that can be, I guess, oversubscribe is probably the perfect word to it. But it's designed that way, and that's why it all grows together. But then that's why they're going to have redemption gates likely, and they're going to have liquidation gates. These are the fine print things that people aren't talking about that it'll be great to be able to buy into Bitcoin, but it's a volatile asset. And if you start seeing it falling and you want to get out of it, or if you want to get more of it and because it's going up or otherwise, you may not be able to do that with the swiftness that you think. If they can, I've seen before, GBTC's done it, others where they'll tranche you out over time because they don't want everybody to sell it at once. They don't have enough Bitcoin to represent that. So part of the reason why I'm indifferent, I like it for mainstream. I don't like a representation component because the real thing's better. At the end of the day, if you want to see if you're a Bitcoin investor and you think about Bitcoin the way that most of us do in this space as a future currency for the whole world, for the just people in general, then having the real thing is going to be a lot stronger. So yes, you're right. It can be oversubscribed is a great word.
So there's three right now, but the one they're making a decision on, it's the Winklevi twins. And I read that one doesn't have any insurance, but the Solid X one has insurance for people.
Yeah. I think they're trying to do is each of them are trying to find those unique sales propositions of differentiation. So they're going to market, and some of them are putting this component out there. Others are using this. The ones with insurance, obviously, it's going to have costs. Just our transaction insurance and the way that we've configured on our side, there are hard costs associated. So this isn't something that it's a $7.95 trade, and neither will the ETF be. And also, the ETF, most of them are designed with percentages for either performance or percentages of just of management fees. The Bitcoin IRA self-directed doesn't have either of those or liquidation fees associated. So there's some things to look at when you're making the decision point on it. If you're stuck in stocks because you're stuck in a 401k you can't go into IRA with, then yeah, and you want Bitcoin, go get the ETF. But if you're thinking about this as a long-term hold, some strategic play, maybe for somebody like yourself that's thinking about a house and wants to make some money off of what they have in a tax-free growth setting, then think a little bit more of the real thing. It's going to give you the results you're looking for.
Do you think that it's going to pass or not?
Oh, man, I don't know. I was just yesterday and even today I've been on calls that, I walk off one and I feel like it's 80% it's a chance it's going to be approved, and then I get off the next one and it's a 20% chance. I think it really depends on who you ask. I'm curious of the timing of it. You still have a lot of the SEC governorship and what's happening as far as the executive levels there. is from the Obama era, and it's not like there's an appointee. The president doesn't appoint those people, but Treasury has influence, and they're all kind of in bed with each other. So you're definitely going to have some shifts of who those people may be under a Trump administration. So the timing is interesting to me. I think that we may get a no decision again is what my bet is, and that's what they've been doing really well, is just kick the can down the road.
Like 3 years.
They'll put out... Yeah, they'll put some language out of some clarification as to why they are still investigating. So we may get a taste of maybe the objection point is, so that the other groups that are trying to vie for this can make adjustments and give what they want out of it. I'm a coin toss. I'm a coin toss at this point. I think it could go either way. No decision definitely is up there.
I thought they had to make a decision.
I don't think the SEC has to do anything. I'll be honest with you. They're kind of they run the shop when it comes to financial services industry. So what they say goes, and they do get the time, just like the Federal Reserve or any courts. When you get to that level, they can defer decisions at a lot of times. I think they're getting more and more pressure to make a decision, because look at what Bitcoin's doing. It's healthy. It got through a Bitfinex hack earlier last year. It's well above the highs that it was reaching in 13. It has a lot more volume trades with it, so that means more people are buying and selling it every day. That lowers volatility. There's a lot of perks to it. Ed Moy was sending me something just this morning about with them trading nearly at the same price. Any savvy investor is taking a look at it as an alternative investment, because the factors aren't determined. The price of Bitcoin is not related to currency, therefore it's a true alternative. And so it's an interesting reason and rationale to put some pressure on the SEC and say, hey, this baby's growing up. It needs to be recognized. So that's good. That's a good thing and a rationale for it. But there is also, there's a lot of technology that the old school, old guard doesn't understand right away. The blockchain is definitely catching on, the concept of smart contracts, ledgers, et cetera, transparent, open source. But the coin, which is what it's all about, is getting a little bit less of that adoption from the old guard. So we'll see in time. Well, I don't even know if we're supposed to know today or tomorrow or Monday, because it's, or across the weekend is what we've heard too. So it isn't being ambiguity to it, which I guess that's typical.
Yeah. Well, I would just want to clarify too, that Bitcoin's never been hacked. It's the exchanges that have,
yes,
some of them have been hacked.
Definitely.
So if it passes, what's going to happen to Bitcoin? And if it doesn't pass, what do you think is going to happen to Bitcoin in terms of price?
If it passes, I think that it'll be interesting to see how much outlay happens, but it'll be a early. I mean, there's, technically speaking, right now sitting just under 1,300, top of the range. A lot of this, the approval is mostly priced in. You're still going to see a pop, and then you're going to see some accelerated growth ahead. 2,000 is what some people are saying by the end of the year if the ETF gets approved. But there's plenty of other arguments for the growth of Bitcoin, which is mainstream adoption, i.e. Bitcoin IRA, not to drop a line there. But at the end of the day, there's going to be more people like us. We're just the first of many. But if it doesn't, now that's the other question, is if it doesn't, I think that, yes, you're going to get some emotional reaction short term in the price, but it's found its place and its setting in this 1,000 to 1,200 range, and it's got upside from there. I mean, you could get really technical and say that it should be at these levels at these points, but it's healthy. It's reacting to a lot of different things being thrown at it at once, and it's not going crazy. And you've seen stocks that go crazy. Snapchat's IPO has been doing some really crazy stuff. Facebook, when it came out, and you got a lot of others sitting back there in the IPO space as a kind of a reference point to how should something grow into the marketplace. Now Facebook's doing well. Now Google's doing well. There are successful inceptions of those things into that space. But it comes down also, the beauty of Bitcoin IRA is that, you don't have to worry about somebody managing it for you. It's the real thing sitting there. In the ETF space, if the management fees get too much, if they run the business and try to give away too much, or they get greedy, a lot of things can happen when you're dealing with a business behind closed doors. And that can affect how good your returns are, even if Bitcoin goes up, or being able to get out of it. So I'd say approval definitely going to have that upside. It's mostly priced in, but you're still going to get a pop from the emotional. And then long-term on a non-approval, there's still adoption happening at a very high velocity. So some people said, and they've said it before, so we expect to hear the mainstream news if they don't say, if they say no, or if or a no decision, that Bitcoin's dead again, because I've seen that headline at least 15 times in the short amount of time I've done my research in this industry, and they're always wrong. For some reason, they just want to bet against us.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's going to pass, only because it's the Winklevi.
And personalities involved too. I mean, you have to put that there. There is a perception, whether public or otherwise, and I came from the motel, so I don't know. I don't have a trust with a bunch of Bitcoin in it. But we can all do the same different things. We're just being innovative and bold. So I cheers to them and to stick through this. I mean, we went through a year and a half of back and forth development. Finding the right players, getting them approved and onboarded with the custodians, vetting, programming, those things. And we moved fast. We moved really fast. We fortunately didn't have a governing body like the SEC that would sit and could sit on something like this, because it's not a securities exchange commission thing. It's outside of that. It's in the self-directed space. So it's up to the custodians and the IRS to approve an asset to be held in a self-directed IRA. We'll see. I mean, our process was a little different, but it was tenuous too. I do applaud them for sticking through it. And I think, we'll see, there will be the future of Bitcoin ETFs, whether it's now or in a few years from now or shorter, it'll inevitably happen.
I think Barry's and Solidex will go through, but I just don't think it's going to be the Winklevoss. that's just my personal opinion, not based on facts.
But if it does happen, and there is no cause for continuity, they can pick and choose which ones. This isn't a blanketed all Bitcoin ETFs are approved now. Anybody that's going to want to put one up to the plate is going to have to go through this vetting process. And so they could at this point pick one, and we will know what the rationale is, hopefully from the language. I would heed people take the 15 minutes to read it. Don't just take the soundbite that pops off on CNN or Fox or whatever you watch. Go to the Google. I call it the Google because it's just one of those things. Go to the Google, take 10 minutes, and learn a little bit about why they did or did not do it. Because that'll teach you a little bit about financial instruments, and usually drives you down the rabbit hole of getting interested in investing, and hopefully reminds you to put money inside of an IRA for a long-term retirement tax haven.
Yeah, no, I'm doing it. So then when I buy a place eventually. Why is your Twitter handle, we are wrapping this up, but why is your Twitter handle Senator Klein? Are you running?
Once you have one, see, I was early adopter in that. I think I was in my freshman dorm in 2003 when I got my, or 2004 maybe, when I got my Twitter handle, but I never did anything with it. Facebook came around the corner, and then I was more living in the actual social world instead of the online social world at that point in time in college. And so I never really got into the Twitter thing, and then it's scary to jump in. I'm just now jumping back in. Like, my marketing team has asked me to be out there, to be tweeting, so you'll see more out of it. Follow if you want to. But it was at that point in time, I was 20 years old, sitting in a college dorm, and I knew that I just came off of being like senior class president, student body, valedictorian. So it was in my head that someday I want to be a president, and it's still there. Like, it's in my head. We'll see.
So 4 years you're going to be running for office. You can vote. Chris Klein.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I'll be eligible at some point. But if you want to learn anything about Bitcoin or follow Senator Klein, you're right about that. And then also, if you want to learn about Bitcoin, if any of this was interesting to you, text the letters BTC, that's how we call it Bitcoin, BTC, B as in boy, T as in Tom, and C as in cat, to 38470. You'll automatically get free information guides, some things you can study, some past interviews. I think, I don't know if the keynote from the Caribbean event for Coin Agenda will be up there yet, but you'll be privy to the development of Bitcoin and get a chance to learn more about IRAs, whether you're just starting one, rolling with something over or otherwise. So BTC,
what did they text?
To 38470. The letters BTC,
yep.
To 38470.
Okay, and your website, if people want to get an IRA, BitcoinIRA.com.
Yeah, BitcoinIRA.com.
Awesome, and they can follow you on Twitter, Senator Klein. Love that. Better run for senator if you have that.
Well, you have to go through that process. You start as a state representative, then you move your way, and if you're good at what you do, you make it. Just like you start as an entry-level intern, and you make it to COO.
Cool. All right, well, thank you so much. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Burning Bridges with Margo. Thank you.